Welcome to the Guadalajara Geopolitics podcast. Today's guest is Joseph E. Meyer of StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Professor Morick. Thank you and Guadalajara Geopolitics. It's always a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience.
Thanks for your time. And just to start off, what's currently on your economic radar?
Well, I think the big story, Professor, is certainly what is going on with China and the pronounced slowdown that we've seen there and how it has at least temporarily affected the U.S. markets. And certainly, I think a lot of leverage has been used in all of these markets, and it's slowly starting to unwind. Having said that, I think the other problems going on in the European Union, namely with Greece and the bailout, but more importantly, I think we're shortly going to see Portugal, Spain, and Italy follow what we've witnessed in Greece. That's what I think is ahead.
Okay, and you sent me a copy of your latest your subscription newsletter, and you graciously allowed me to post it on the website so people can check it out and look at it and see if it's something that they would be interested in. And you mentioned Greece and China, and you were discussing gold and silver in the newsletter and five black swans. And
yes.
One of them, well, was Greece, which seems it hasn't hit yet because Greece seems to be chugging along battered and bruised. But you also mentioned another black swan potentially was the Chinese markets declining sharply. And, well, I read an article, I believe, yesterday or this morning where they went down. They plunged 13%, and that could be.
Yes, they have.
It could be an impetus for Asians to buy more gold. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the precious metal bull market is alive and well. I remain very bullish on both gold and silver. I think we're reaching a major turning point in the precious metals market. I think the decline that we've seen so far, although it's been very painful and long in the tooth, I think we're now reaching the point where the metals offer extraordinary value. A 50% correction of the entire bull move, as you know, Professor Morick, from the 255 low to the April 2011 highs at $1,930, would come in right at 1080, approximately where we are now, would be a full 50% correction of the entire bull market. But I think on a worst case scenario, we could be looking at 1050 and then even possibly 990 to 1000. So I think the risk at this point in the precious metals is being out of the market rather than being in it.
And there are some other interesting analysts and economists like Martin Armstrong who say it could even go a bit lower, you say about 900, but the point being that sometime in the future that gold will have its day.
Well, I think gold is very undervalued in the long term. I think people lose sight of the fact that 1 ounce of gold twice in history has bought the Dow, once in 1932 and the second time in 1980. And I think when we look at the sentiment in the precious metal bull market, it's never been as negative now as I've seen in my long career on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. And another trend related to that, which you discuss in your newsletter, is de-dollarization. And basically for the time being, I guess the safe haven is the dollar. And as a result, gold is suffering. And you mentioned some interesting things in your newsletter where you discuss the imperial twilight of the dollar, which has now been around for 95 years as the reserve currency.
Yes.
And you say the average being 105. And
yes.
So what are your thoughts on the process of de-dollarization? How long can it last? Some more years, decades. We see the IMF push the Chinese yuan back another year from being included into the currency basket. So what are your thoughts on the process of de-dollarization?
Well, I think when we look back at history, as you know, Professor Morick, the dollar became a world reserve currency in 1944, and we were basically on the gold standard from 1944 to 1971, which was approximately 27 years, but I think more importantly, we've now been off the gold standard 44 years. So I do believe we're in the twilight of the dollar, although it may have a couple of more years longevity. I think it's an ending rather than a fresh beginning.
And who might you see as the real contender for what comes next? The IMF with their special drawing right, or China, or some other regional grouping? What do you think?
I think, Professor, it's a combination of all of those things. I think we're going to see a repricing of all the world-class asset classes, and I think what's ahead of us now, certainly with what China is doing. China, I believe, has far more gold than's been reported. As you know, they recently announced their gold holdings of around 3,300 tons. But I have to believe they own approximately 20, 25,000 tons of gold. If I am right on that analysis, and I have no reason to believe I'm wrong, they would be currently holding three times the U.S. Fed's holdings of gold. U.S. holds about 8,300 tons.
Mm-hmm. And, well, speaking of other assets in the energy market, you write about oil and how the low prices haven't really helped the average American. And also, there was a news story out about Saudi Arabia might go broke before the U.S. oil industry buckles. So what can you say about oil?
Well, I think, again, if we go back, Professor, and we look at history, any time we've seen a $40 a barrel decline in less than 6 months, it's led to a worldwide recession. I do believe that oil prices may be now finally approaching meaningful long-term support in the low to mid $40 a barrel area. But as you know from what I've written extensively of in the newsletter, I remain wildly bullish on the energy sector, certainly in the years ahead.
And would you be bullish on, let's say, the shale industry? Because I've spoken previously with Marin Katusa, and who's very involved in the energy industry, and he had a lot of faith in the shale oil exploration industry, while other people say that shale won't be able to survive the low prices. What are your thoughts?
I have to agree on your latter point. I don't believe shale will be able to survive the lower prices. I think the world economic situation is changing now. The economic sands of the world are shifting under our feet. And the question is how much longer Saudi Arabia can certainly continue to pump the levels of crude oil it has over the last couple of decades.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think you had higher expectations for oil in the future.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. And so let's see what else. You mentioned the Trans-Pacific Partnership briefly in your newsletter. I believe a recent news article mentioned how the TPP is dead. Do you think it's dead, or do you think it's going to come back from the dead?
Well, I think when we talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, honestly, it would set new terms for the trade and business investment among the United States and, as you know, 11 other Pacific Rim nations with a gross domestic product of approximately $28 trillion. That, Professor, would represent roughly 40% of the global GDP and one-third of world trade. It would further encourage export of manufacturing jobs to low-wage nations while limiting and encouraging competition for pharmaceuticals and other high-value products by spreading the American standard for patent protection to other countries. Those are some elements of the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal.
Mm-hmm. And we see things such as these corporations. You know, one thing that stuck out in my mind was the GMO labeling, where they would prevent GMO foods from being labeled, which I think would hurt the consumers, you know, the freedom to know what they are consuming. And there can be many negative effects from
Excellent point, Professor. I couldn't agree with you more.
Mm-hmm. And, what are your thoughts about the trend of optimization in jobs? For example, there was an article about how robots, the growing threat to the service industry. I don't recall if you wrote about that in your latest newsletter, but what are your thoughts on the trend for jobs and automation, as well as offshoring, the kind that we see in the TPP?
Well, I think we're going to continue to see both of them. I think automation is the wave of the future. Robotics is the wave of the future. Corporations, as you know, continue to seek out the cheapest worldwide labor. We're not creating the decent paying jobs here in America. We're creating these low wage minimum type of positions. And I think it's put an enormous strain on consumer discretionary spending. And as I said in the newsletter, it's not a question of if they raise interest rates, it's a question of when. And I think the economy has witnessed probably the weakest economic recovery if we go back and we study history since the Civil War in 1865. So I think we have enormous challenges ahead of us, and I think it's time to take a hard look at these markets and certainly recognize the messages that they're trying to tell us.
And what are some ways you might, you know, recommend for people to, some things they can do to prepare, say, for difficult economic times, some actions that they might be able to take?
Well, I think when we talk about the equity markets, certainly the U.S. equity markets, we've not had a full 10% correction now in over 4 years. So I think the U.S. stock market's long overdue for a correction. I think three key levels, and I want to share them with your listening audience, that I would certainly be aware of and certainly be concerned with if they were to be violated, would be the level of 17,000 in the Dow, approximately 8,000 in the Dow Transportation Index, and the 5,000 level in the NASDAQ. These are the three levels that I think would signal that a full-blown bear market in the U.S. equity market is now underway.
Mm-hmm. And are there some practical things you think people can do? I mean, there's always the common sense thing is, you know, have some precious metals, have some cash, as well as the stocks you mentioned, what to do and what not to do. Anything
well,
else?
I think it's very important that everyone have a minimum of 6 months living expenses that they can count on. Certainly not be using leverage in any of these markets if you so decide to stay fully invested. The precious metals, I believe, at these levels, as I said earlier, Professor, offer extraordinary value, and they should be accumulated and put away. And I think if you're sitting on cash and you want to get invested in the market, you've got to wait till we get the correction that's long overdue. Two levels that I would look for where I think this potential bear market ahead of us could certainly bottom out. One level would be the 2007 peak at 14,150. And then the second level would be the Dow high we saw in 2000 at 11,780. Those are the two levels that I think can contain the bear market that's ahead of us in the equity markets.
And just a few more questions. In your newsletter, you mentioned cycles. There's a lot of fascinating theorists regarding cycles. You have everyone from the Russian Kondratiev to Martin Armstrong to the fourth turning. And there's even this new book about what's called the Shemitah by Jonathan Kahn. And so there's a lot of talk about different kinds of cycles. You know, I don't think any single one of them perhaps has the complete answer, but all of them, they take a valuable stab at reality. And
yes.
And there's some insights to gain from each of them, I think. And how do you view and analyze the economic and political cycles? Which ones are you interested in or do you see value in?
Well, I like the 7-year cycle. I think it's been a fairly even indicator of what we can expect ahead. We are coming up on a 7-year anniversary of that cycle, as you know, sometime in late 2015. And I think human nature never changes, and that's why market history, if we live long enough, repeats. And I think we're in a very interesting time with extraordinary opportunity. And I think we have to realize these markets represent risk, but they also represent reward. And I think we all have to decide, if we so choose to be in these markets, how best to be part of them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's something important for people to take note of and to prepare accordingly. And well, so what would be your forecast for the future? Let's say for Greece, do you think that they will exit the euro, or they will just exit the euro, reintroduce the drachma, or just continue as is within the eurozone? What do you think will happen with Greece?
Professor Morik, I believe in the long term, Greece will leave the European Union and it will leave the euro and it will revert back to its sovereign currency, the drachma. And I believe, as I said earlier in this interview, that the problems that will follow Greece, which I think is just the tip of the iceberg, are going to be enormous. We could witness, if Greece does leave the European Union and we see problems with Portugal, Spain, and Italy, the breakup of the European Union and maybe the dissolution of the IMF itself. It's a possibility.
And just like the Great Depression in 1929, I believe, began with a run on a bank, on an Austrian
yes.
bank, which later spread to Germany and the rest of Europe and then came to the U.S. How would you see that affecting the U.S.?
Well, I think all the markets are interconnected, and I think all the central banks of the world are interconnected. And I have never seen in my long career on Wall Street a concerted effort by the central banks of the world to artificially push down interest rates. You know, going back to 2007, the U.S. Fed had a balance sheet of about $800 billion. They're currently carrying a balance sheet $4.3 trillion. So there's been a tremendous amount of liquidity pumped into these markets, a tremendous amount of leverage employed in all these markets. And quite honestly, Professor, it's not going to take too much of a move to the downside to start to snowball down the hill.
Mm-hmm. And, well, finally, what other events do you see maybe that you're worried about or you're looking at for your future, the next issue of your newsletter?
Well, I know everyone's concerned or should be concerned with the levels we're witnessing in the equity markets, and I'm not downplaying for a minute the extraordinary risk that the equity markets represent. But in the bigger picture, I think the greatest risk is what we're going to see unfold as the deleveraging takes place eventually in the bond market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the next bubble to burst. A lot of people have
yes.
been talking about. It's quite, you know, quite frankly, it's hard to believe, you know, to imagine something like that. But, you know, history is pretty objective and it has its process and these things play out.
Yes, it does.
And any other final thoughts or comments for the listeners?
Well, I think, again, we're in an extraordinary time. I think we're making history in all these markets. I think we'll look back on what is taking place someday. It'll be in the history books. I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be in the precious metals and be in the Met, I think, which are basically fire sale prices. And I think the greatest gains ahead of us will be in the energy and precious metal sectors, and the biggest declines ahead of us will be in the U.S. equity markets and the bond market as well.
And people can visit your site. Where would be the best place for them to go to get more information about your work?
Well, they can go right to the straightmoneyanalysis.com website. As you know, we have a full issue of the newsletter on the website that they can certainly download and read. My bio is also posted on the website, so they can read that and get to know who we are and what we do. And I'm working as we speak, Professor, on the September 2015 issue of the newsletter, which we're planning on sending out on September the 1st.
Okay. And You've had decades of experience in the field and a lot of interesting stuff. This is our first time talking to you. And well, thank you for your time. And hopefully sometime in the future, you can visit with us again.
Certainly looking forward to it. Thank you, Professor Mark. It was a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience.